Okay, we're up to Sif Dalid in Siman Reish Samach Gimel. Noila Kishuhu Mahul. The din of a baby that is born Mahul, and as I said at the end of Shia last week, let's deal first with the real case of Noila Mahul, which as I said is not Shkiach Bizman Hazeh. Many of the G'dayli Paiskim who are Mayalim write that they never saw a true Noilin Mahul. The Michsalaza, who was Mayal and Sandik simultaneously for many Jewish babies, says he never saw a true Noilin Mahul.
But it says over here, it must have been once upon a time.
Either it was once upon a time, or it's still, but it's rare. It could be. But a true Noilin Mahul, the Aruch HaShulchan says, is he looks the way a baby looks after Bris Milah. So let's see the din, and then we'll talk about where it comes up today. Noilek Yeshuhu Mahul, Tzarech Lahatif Mimenu Dambris. If someone is born Mahul, he needs Hatafas Dambris, which we'll have to explain exactly how one goes about doing such Hatafas Dambris. Miyu Benachas, it has to be done gently. Mitzricha Milsa Lamivdika Yafa Yafa, Biyadayim Ubemarasenayim. And the poking of the Hatafas Dambris has to be done gently, with a careful examination of the baby. V'loy b'parzala, d'loy ayikleh, and not with something that'll hurt the child. I mean, it hurts, but that'll do damage. V'royim in this har and heich malar isai, and you have to look carefully in the way you do the mila. Now, what are you exactly looking careful? Why are you looking carefully? So we'll see the shach in a second. Mamtina loy harbe, vechoshishin liyam shmini, shloy avoyle de sakana. And we'll wait till we're comfortable that it's safe to do it for the baby. Zok to shach dalid, why are we, and what's the big deal? They take blood. I mean, it's a big deal from a little baby. They take blood, so you take a little blood from there. So shach dalid explains his understanding of this din. Shach dalit sarach lahatif aim of archan alamila elam kenir alay arla kavusha. Torah says you don't make a bracha on a toughest dambris of such a baby unless it looks like arla kavusha. Arla kavusha means that there is a foreskin on the aver, but it's very tight. So tight that one cannot tell that there's a foreskin. So unless it looks like this, an arla kavusha, don't make a bracha. Because of a bach, if there is a tight arla, there's an arla, then it's daich shabbos. And can achshav de'ene vaday, ela niris loy v'karv levaday shor arla kavusha. I'm going de'ene daich shabbos because my tzarich levarach atavas dambris ad kan. Yeah, absolutely. I'll now explain that. The difference of opinion here is a tremendous difference of opinion in the din of din noilin mahul. This shach seems to feel that the whole reason we're patchkering with the noilin mahul baby is because we're afraid of an arla that we don't recognize. That there's an arla kavusha, is really an arl. And we're doing it because we're afraid of the arla kavusha. Obviously, if there's an arla kavusha, you really have to remove the arla itself. If you can't do it in a small baby, you have to do it later.
What about Shabbos?
The same thing with Shabbos. If you knew there's an arla kavusha, that's what he says. If it was a vadi arla kavusha, he'd take it for Shabbos, right? Now the Mishka de Siakov. If you know there's an arla kavusha. No, if you know Zarek Vosh, you do a Mila on the Arla. The Hatafas Dambris, according to this Shita, is only done to figure out if there's an Arla or not. The purpose of the Hatafas Dambris is to make an incision and be able to observe if there's an Arla Kavusha, which is the explanation of the Shulchan Aruch's language, that you have to do it carefully. Yafa yafa lemivdaka. Lemivdaka means you're examining him. Yafa yafa biyadayim uvamarasenayim. So the shita of the shach, Mishkanes Yaakov calls the shita sapaiskim, is that the only reason you have to do a bris mila for a child who's noilin mahul is because of a chashash of arla kvusha.
Somebody had not caught the risk of circumcision.
We'll talk about that soon. One second. It's a separate issue, but.
Because of arla, the dam coming anyway. It still also didn't take out more dam, isn't it? Take out more dam over there.
No, if you do a bris, there's no.
Bris, dam's coming out.
There's no way you take more dam. Once there's dam, we take out more dam. We do mitzitsa for a totally different reason, which we'll learn. But as far as the tavas dam bris, it's the Chazon Ish says dam kol shehu, but tavas dam bris. I'm not familiar. I have never read about any type of Arla Kavusha, so I don't know. Right now we'll learn the sugya, and then we'll see. Like I said, the Shadra doesn't come up at all. So now the Mishkan of Siakim says he doesn't know what's going on here. He says if you learn Yevamis, Perika Oral, which I know many of you are planning to do shortly, he says there it's clear that a Noilin Mohul, the Gemara says Noilin Mohul eats Truma. Could eat truma, even without a tafas damris. So, and the Gemara brings that a noilin mohul is not a doesn't have a din oral, arla, of a din oral. So the Mishkan Siakim disagrees. He says if you have a suffix, there's an arla, you have to deal with it. But engla dain elamashen of royais. If you look at the baby and you don't see an arla, and there's no chiyuv bris mila. And he says, as we mentioned in previous weeks, Hatafas Dambris is a separate halacha of Dambrisech. He brings a pasuk from Navi, Dambrisech, there's a mitzvah of Dambris, and it's a separate mitzvah. It has nothing at all to do with Arla Kavusha. And this mitzvah is not Eichas Shabbos, and this mitzvah is not the eighth day. We spoke out once before that Reb Chaim says the mitzvah of Hatafas Dambris is kasha even before the eighth day. So, if you did a bris or before the 8th day, you don't need on the toughest dam bris like the Ramah, because it's two separate in Yadim. So here we have an extraordinary machlaikis in Pshat. In Pshat, in Nailid Mahul. Darach HaShulchan writes that it's really a machlaikis to sugyas in Yevamis and in Mesechta Shabbos. There are two main sugyas of bris mila. One is Mesechta Yevamis, and one is a Mesechta Shabbos. Marvis at the Shabbos, he says, it's clear that it's al chashash orla kvusha. It's a Rav and Shmuel, halacha karabi surei. Rav says it's orla kvusha. And in the Gemara in Yevamis, where he brings the machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva, normally we pass on Rabbi Kiva against Rabbi Eliezer, but here Rav Basroi holds like Rabbi Eliezer, he goes to the Cheshbon, but he says basically that in Yevamis, it's mashma that it's out, like the Mishkan Siakim says. In Yevamis it's mashma, like the Mishkan Siakim, that it's a din of Hatafas Dambris, Be'etzem. And in Mesechta Shabbos it becomes clear that it's because of Arla Kvusha. And Darach HaShulchan says that's why all of the Paiskim them on this way, and that is the halacha. And that's really on the page here what the Shach says.
Baragila says it's from Masechta Shabbos.
Baragila says it's from Masechta Shabbos. Okay, good. let me explain. I'll explain by way of the following. Now, but before I get to that, the Stipler, as you know, the Stipler put out many Kilas Yaakov Svarim. After he passed away, they printed in a two-volume set the Kilas Yaakovs that he had printed as a boy, as a young man. Many of them he reworked and eventually got into the Kilas Yaakov. But he had earlier Shtiklach Torah. The Stipler was a tremendously creative and imaginative individual. So listen to this. He has a Shtiklach Torah. If after Eliyahu or Elisha were Mechaya Mason, see, the Ben HaShulam has died, and then you're Mechaya him. He's done whether that newly born person needs a toughest dam bris. Yeah? When he was 8 days old, he had a bris mila. They cut off his arla. And so the Stipler clears. So the Stipler says he's an island mole. He says it's totally this machlaikis. Chashash arla kvusha. He probably didn't get arla kvusha during the few hours that he was dead. So if it's not arla kvusha, you don't have to do it. If it's out, Nailin Mohl, he's a Nailin Mohl, he should need Dambrisech. So, you know, there's the old clear if Eishes Eliyahu Muteres, if... but he clears Lagabi.
This would be the only example of a Neilamo that actually had a bris mila.
This would be the only example of a Neilamo who had a bris mila already previously.
Yeah, so he had a toughest number, so even...
He had a toughest number in a previous Gilgal, but now it's a new person. So
that's where we would have to have a second bar mitzvah.
Yeah, what about Yerusha? All his kids yarshed him already. He's left penniless. No, he died. His kids yarshed. Now he comes alive again. Not so easy to kiss a mason is tough. You know, it was a different neshama. What? Anybody who dies can't be revived. Anybody who can be revived is not halachically dead. Somebody who holds his breath, we test by breath if he's alive. If you hold your breath, you're not dead. Unless you hold your breath so long that it's not possible for you to stop breathing again, which I don't advise. But yeah, any death that's resuscitatable is not yet dead. Okay, now the question here is how to do a tafas dabris. And this, the Chazon Ish made a tremendous rash on a tafas dabris. First of all, I want to point out that even though we've all been at brisin, and it's usually not a tafas dabris, for Balei Tshuva, very often there is a tafas dabris. Very often you have somebody who was born into a non-religious family. So if you didn't have a bris, you do the bris later. But they had a bris, either done by a guy, or done before the eighth day, or done by night. You have brisin that are not adequate, you do hatafas dam bris. There are many people, I know many people, who've had hatafas dam bris. I know geirim who've had hatafas dam bris when they're megayir, and they already, the orla was removed. So the Chazon Ish made a tremendous tumul. The old custom by Klal Yisrael is that a tafas dam bris is done, now you have to listen carefully, at the place where the bris normally bleeds. Now you have to realize, if this finger is the arla, is the aver, so imagine I put on a loose glove. I put on one of those vinyl gloves, not to tie it, right? So I pick off the glove, or the tip of the glove off my finger, and I cut it. And it's elastic, so it jumps back down. Basically, what happens by a bris is that's what takes place, at least as far as the arla is concerned. The aver is intact. The moyo pulls up the arla. They put in a guard. And I was once a sandik by a moyo who didn't use a guard. I always felt like I was going to pass out. So I see him taking the knife. So what he did is, with his other hand, he used his two fingernails as a guard, really. You know, it was like a gaiva thing. I didn't feel it was a right thing to do. But anyway, but they pull up. Where does it bleed? You have to realize the arla or the arapriya is very, the arapriya is tight. When you let go, it jumps back down. It goes back down under the atara. You do a priya, you fold back whatever remains. The bleeding is not on the Rosh HaGaviyah. It's not on the top of the aver. The bleeding is at the spot where underneath, under the atara, where the cut took place. And the minig by Klal Yisrael was always to do a tafas bris down there at a lower point, which somehow is also a less sensitive point as far as the baby urinating afterwards and getting it all wet. And a baby, it's an adult very often. And that's the place where that tafas dam bris was done traditionally for a long period of time. The Chazon Ish came along. And this is printed in the Sefer Chazon Ish, and the Maror Mokim here. And he made a rash that it's wrong. That a tafas dam bris has to be b'roish hagviya, that it has to be in the aver itself. And he writes that you're checking for an orla kavusha. We don't paskin that tafas dam bris for the other reason. You're poking around for an orla. And therefore, he said a tafas dam bris has to be done in the roish hagviya. And he made it to Rav Henkin, who was then alive, wrote a scathing response to the Chazon Ish, called him names for being Mitzar Yidden, and wrote that the Chazon Ish is wrong, Sai Mitzar HaLacha and Sai Mitzar HaMetzius. He said Mitzar HaLacha, he brings a host of Maramakaimis, that tradition, and then Chazon Ish is masking that all the years it was done that way. See, Chazon Ish is very helpful. A lot of times when he says Chidushin, he says, Kol HaPoiskim LeKosvu Kein. Like he writes, Chazanish Shita is mukta. You're not being metalta mukta with your body. Even with your foot, you're not a kick mukta. But he writes, Tamani, I'll call our place, Kim Shalakosu K. He brings a right from the Rosh, he brings a right from Yishayim. So, you know, Yashkayach, you know, Mishnah Berurah says it's mutter, and the Chazanish says, call our place, Kim Kosu, you know, the other way. So here, Chazanish is maider that the custom is not that way. The Rav Henker writes two things. He writes, first of all, that it isn't that way, mitzad the poiskim for the generations. And secondly, he says, if you want to find an Orla Kfusha, the way to find it is by poking around underneath and seeing if there's something that pulls up. If there's something loose that you can pull up and expose an Orla Kfusha. I have no idea what that means exactly, but he says that that's the way. I suppose, you know, when you have a piece of scotch tape that's so stuck you can't get it off, you pick at the edges, you don't pick at the middle. You pick at the edges to pick it up. I don't know that the muscle is a exact muscle here, but that's what he seems to be describing. So I had a maisa with our toughest Dambris, where there was a ger that came to the Navi Shir for a number of years, and he was from Tennessee. He had already undergone a reform conversion, so his Arlo was gone, and he needed a toughest Dambris. So I sent it to Rabelski, and I asked Rabelski how he does it. So he said, the Bailam today try to satisfy both. They try to do it at the point where the Gvia bridges the Sefer Torah. I don't know exactly how you do that. And they try to sort of satisfy both. But I'm pretty sure that the minig remains not like the Chazanish, at least outside of Bnei Brak, and that Atafas Dabris is done at a lower point on the Gevia. I'm sorry, I didn't mark down. The Maramakim, if one wants to look into it, is in Yeredei Asayf Semekuf Nundalit, in the Sefer Chazanish. And, alright, this is one of the areas in which the Chazanish was marish, because it's a... It causes a rash because of the confusion. At any rate, this is the din of Noilad Mohol. It's not common. What is common today, and is not mentioned here, is a medical condition known as hypospadias, which I mentioned here in the past. It's good to mention it to people because it's fairly common. It's not common in every family, but Rav hears about it. It happens, and people think it never happens to anybody. A hypospadias baby is a baby who's born essentially with a very slight malformation of the aver. The hypospadias is a baby with a nekev, the hole from which the urine comes out, is not exactly at the tip of the aver. It's lower, usually to the lower part of the aver, and it comes in various stages. There are serious malformations where the nekev is quite a bit lower, at points where it's just slightly lower. And what comes along with this is an arlo which is not connected to the aver all around. It's a flap rather than a arla. And also it comes at various stages. I've seen two or three of them. The ones that I've seen were all relatively minor. And the question is a double question. One is that the arla skin is needed. What they do is they do surgery. There's a Dr. Stanley Kogan out in Westchester who has a lot of Yiddish clients. He happens to be a Yid. And not a frum yid, and he does this surgery. Many do the surgery, and he does. And they do surgery. What they basically do is reconstruct the canal or extend the canal that takes the urine out of the body. One of the simanim of one of the results of a child who has a hypospadias is he generally doesn't urinate standing because the urine doesn't shoot out in the normal way. He has to urinate sitting. And it's not it's just not a good condition. It's not a good condition for a child to grow up in. There are some where it can affect the fertility later in life. And today, it's a form of plastic surgery. But the best type of plastic surgery is to use the skin of the living skin of the child himself, which is to use some of the skin of the Arla itself. So right away, if you're going to remove the whole Arla at the Bris, you're going to destroy that ability to use that. And secondly, even if you are going to do the Bris, the question is whether one can make a bracha, whether it has a din of a Neilad Mahal, because Lamaisa, the Aver is uncovered. It's a flap rather than a tight covering, and it is uncovered. And therefore, that each case has to be dealt with. Rabbi Bleich, in his Contemporary Halachic Issues, I don't remember which volume, has an excellent collection of the Das HaPaiskim on how to deal with the hypostasis. What some of these doctors do is they allow into the operating room a frumayel to do right before as part of the surgery, to do the actual removal of the arla. Obviously, you don't call it a minion at that stage, but you do the halachic bris doesn't need a minion, and he does it there, and then there are mayalim or milis that are done where part of it is removed. Typically, a bracha is not made, and I think I mentioned to you last week that we have the Avi Abed make a bracha without Sheva Malchus. So that at the bris, he says without Shema Malchus, people don't notice. It's done in a mumbling way so that nobody notices. And Amen, you can say Amen. It's a bracha. It's not Amen Yisayim. It's a bracha on a Suffolk Arla. Suffolk bracha is this, for some reason, this Indian to say without Shema Malchus. And that's the way it's typically done. So it's not dealt with here in Shulchan Aruch. I don't know why. I don't know if it didn't exist as much, or there was nothing they could do for it once upon a time. But I mention it because it does come up, and at least people should be aware of it.
And for Ger Baal Tshuva, they do a tough
Zabris. For Ger or Baal Tshuva, they do a tough Zabris.
They don't,
I don't know, I believe they don't do like the Chazay Nish.
They don't have the brachas.
There's no bracha.
Reconnecting that piece of Arla is not a problem.
Yeah, using the skin is right. Yeah, they're making. Yeah, that's no issue. As long as you remove that. Okay, let's go to Sifhei. What? It's not a Ptsua Daka. There are two things very interesting. It's not a Ptsua Daka because removing the Arla is not an issue. Now, making a Nekev in the Rosh HaGavia, so there's an interesting tshuva. This came up to me the first time. Someone had a shaila. There are babies that are born with undescended testicles. Call it UDT. There are babies who are born in the womb. The testicles form higher up in the baby. And as the baby forms, the testicles drop. It's a miracle. You know, everything falls into the right place. You know, you see a baby born. I remember in the ruin, the baby's born. You just look. Like it's just red around the lips, you know. It's not red around the forehead. It's not red around the cheeks, you know. Like God, you know, it's a miracle. And the testicles descend into the sac. Now, sometimes it happens. I don't know. The doctors here can tell me. It usually goes together for some reason. With a baby is born with a hernia, that there's an undescended testicle, and so they do surgery. It's relatively minor. Bayena, you know, it's relatively minor. You look at a little bit of child, and they take the testicles down. They don't do it in the first 8 days. There's nothing to do with bris, but typically they take a little piece of the skin of the testicle for testing. Why they do the testing, I have no idea. I imagine it's a research issue. And technically, mashu of basar of the testicle that's removed makes a person a Ptsua Daka. Which is a serious thing. Now, there's a machlaikis if it's in any testicle or only the right testicle. But at the first time we had the shaila, I discussed it with Rav Palm. And Rav Palm showed me a chuas some sefer. I don't remember the Maramachim. Some sefer writes that Ptsua Daka, now Ptsua Daka bidei shamayim is a real Ptsua Daka min HaTorah. Ptsua Daka bidei Adam is itself, I think it's Yavamis. You can have a Yavamis, Sergei Ptsua Daka. The what?
In
Perikov. So, the Chassam Sefer writes that anybody who's rendered a Ptsua Daka through a surgery that's made to improve fertility doesn't have a din of Ptsua Daka. It's a Chiddush, because a Deraisa, we don't say Tama Dekra. But he writes that somebody who, in a surgery that's made to make the child better, to increase fertility, that's not called a Ptsuah Daka. I don't know exactly in 1800 what type of surgeries they had, but that's his Psak. All right, let's move on to Sif Hei. Excuse me? In the surgery, they take off a piece. I suppose that, I'm guessing that they want to see if there's anything else wrong that contributes to it. You mean safe? It's just research. It's really not for the benefit of the child.
Isn't the definition of
children? Can't. No, it's a mistake. Ptsuah Daka has nothing to do with not having children. A person is missing one testicle could have 100 children. There's no a person only needs one testicle to have children. Ptsuah Daka. So with Saimech on Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says it depends which testicle is missing. If I think he says that he makes chitin the right and the left testicle, and in halach it says it's always a shesat chak. Otherwise, a person can't marry. So. So was Saimach on that sheet. Okay, let's move on to Sif Hei. Sif Hei, Tinuk Shemeis, Kaidim Shehigi Aliyais Ben Ches. A baby that died before 8 days old, the Shach says in Shach Vav, it doesn't mean he died before 8 days old only, it just means he died before having a bris. Right, Shavav says, it could be the baby was sick, he didn't have a bris, and he died when he was 20 or 30 or 40 days old. But a baby died without a bris. Malin oisai al kivroi, bitzor oi bekana. We do a bris mila for him by the kever. Now, this is obviously not a mitzvah d'iraisa. It's a hanhaga that's based on Kabbalistic ideas. And bitzor oi bekana, we don't use metal. They mavarchen al amila, avol masimin loy shem le. Okay, this reminded me of the Gemara says that Yoav killed only the zecharim of Amalek and not the nekevis. His Rebbe taught him timche zochar Amalek, so not zecher Amalek. So here you can learn masimin loy shem le zochar. Before you bury a zochar. You give him a name. It's not correct. It's supposed to be Lezecher. Lezecher, Shubun Hashemayim, Yichye B'tchias Hamez.
You gotta repeat it again.
At any rate, here it's Lezecher. You don't have to read it twice. Mesimah Lashem Lezecher. So before they bury such a child, they do a bris and they give him a name. They give him a name. The minig is to bury such a child. Not quietly without his parents. If it's less than 30 days, where they're not supposed to be misabel, they bury quietly. And one of the reasons they bury quietly between me and you is they don't want to give away prime real estate in the Beis HaKfaris for a nafel. Very often they bury the nafel under the walkways. They dig on the side and they make a hole and they bury under the walkway for such a thing. Yeah, they can charge.
But
the truth is that nobody needs tahara. Ramosha writes that being tevel a nifter in a mikvah, he remembers was only done to gedolei hadar, a tahara in the mikvah. But I mean to clean the baby, they always clean the baby. So I don't know if Tzatzevi needs tahara, but at any rate, I don't, they don't do tahara. They just they don't know tahara, no tachrichim. They, as far as I know, and they bury the baby. It should be a zecher. The Rama says, "Einois in kena filo biyanto sheni shogolius." We don't bury. We do burials. Dina de Gemara. Even a Jew could be Isaac in kvura on yantav sheni, but here we don't do a filo yantav sheni. Koski yantav rishon. The also look for biyantav on the fallen. Afilo letalto lo yaser is mukza. We'll get to the last line of the Rama in a minute. So this is the din of a baby who's a mace, and that we bury him. Now, what al hakever is a dafka? I don't know. The meaning is do it al hakever. They put the arla in the kever also. It's a chaluk and a mace. So they put the arla in the kever. A lot of mayalim who start, they practice. When they practice, they start practicing on the fallen. Now here. If he had a name, so you don't change his name. He's just, he should have a name. There's Hashlomas and Neshamas somehow in a name. Rabbi Kivager here says, Malin Oisei Al Kivrei, Im Shachu V'Kavru Oisei, why did they bury him without Bris Mila? Paiskin Kivrei K'dei L'maylai B'char Shar Sanhedrin Ayin Ha'i B'Yehuda. So you open the kever and pull him out to do a Bris Mila to such a child. So Rabbi Yehuda has a tshuva about this. It's fascinating because he gives a little insight into this whole custom. He has a shaila about a baby that died less than 8 days old. They buried him. The shaila is if they're allowed to open the kever and take him out. Normally, once you bury someone, you don't remove him. Why don't you remove him? There are two reasons. The Gemara says one reason is of nivul hames. So the way he explains nivul hames, once the body begins to decompose, it's a bezayin for the mace, he said bezayin for the chayim also, to take out such a body. The second reason is cherdas hadin. Cherdas hadin is, we learn from a pasuk in Navi, that when you disturb a mace within your base chaydish, the mace is afraid that he's being called to a din in heaven. Whatever the biur is, it's cherdas hadin, that's why if we have to move a mace, we wait after the Yud Beis Chaydish. Say a mace is buried temporarily and they're going to move him when they get permits, or there's a war and they can't to move the mace, they wait till after Yud Beis Chaydish. So the Yehuda here has the Shaila as follows. He says, a baby, you just buried him. It didn't begin to decompose. So as far as the reason of Nivel HaMeis, there's no issue. He says, if it began to decompose, of course you don't take out the baby. But it was right away. The question is, what about Cherdas HaDin? So he says very interestingly, he brings the apoiskim that said that until a baby is 20 years old, there's no cherdas hadin. The Gemara says in Shabbos Peites that there's no din. In Shemayim, they're not don a person until he's 20 years old. So Mimela, it's a under 20 years old, there's no cherdas hadin. So the Yehuda writes, Loi mistaver, shalaiya shum oin shemayim, ala odam kaidim esr shana. It doesn't understand it. V'nimtza oilam hefker, v'yiratzeach es chaveroik, shalai yusham edim. So under 20, he can kill people. V'yinaf, v'yasa kol t'yevas Hashem. He can do all the averis. U'ladayti ha'kavonim. Now, this is pshat, he's not the only one. Shaba oilam hazein, ha'kadish baruch hu oinshay d'chayav, kaidim esrim shana. Aval ach, that means as follows. The groin, minchas shloima, Evan Schleimer says the same thing. He says the pshat is this: when a person sins in his adolescent years, between 13 and 20, so in Shemayim they don't punish him yet because he'll mature. And we have many people that from 13 to 20 were doing all kinds of naughty things, and they grow up and they mature. So they'll mature, they do tshuva. Since it's shriach that people, when they become mature, start to take life more seriously. So Hashem doesn't punish from 13 till 20 for those aveiros. He doesn't punish then. Aval achamisa, kol ma'isi adam, kol yimei chayav, mishgia lechlal das, afil lo ines hapu'utais. He says even under 13, a person is punished for aveiros he does, k'shvar yedei ashi aveira. Tzarech lispoil, kefi ma'isav. Hope we don't paskin like this. He says... So he says that there's no such thing as under 20.
How does it affect his baby?
Oh, what about the baby? That's a cotton who has some intellect. However, he says, "Aba cotton ben shana ishtayim ishalosh loyshayef by shum einish klal loyshayef by cherdas hadin." So he says, "No problem with cherdas hadin l'chayra in digging in." Opening up the kever of a small baby. Ach, interesting. Lefidas ha-mekubalim. V'chein eskimu kam ha-mechakrim. Maybe it was very against mekubalim, so you had to stick this in. Right, so he says, Hiskimu gamdas ha-mechakrim. Mechakrim, the Rambam, the Ikrim, those, the Jewish, the Gedalei Yisrael were mechakrim. Sheyesh gilgul nishamis. That there's such a thing as gilgul. In kain, v'chol kot nishayach herdes adin al-maisav b'gilgul rishon. You hear this? Says a shaya cherdas hadin, even on a little baby for his gilgul rishon. Lachay ledaiti imutekev samach lukvurasai Shadai loy nis navel yesub seyach hakever. L'mayne memanashach. This memanashach, he says. If loy haya migolgol, if he's not a gilgol, he's by chedes adin. There's no problem with chedes adin. In kvar haya gimagolgol, if he is a gilgol. Vosid lakum b'tchias ha-meisim, l'chayoy lo mechashom l'dirayim, akapan mahar l'cherpa hulay, v'tayv l'maylay. He gives insight. Why do we do a bris on a baby who died less than 8 days old? He doesn't need a bris. So he says the reason we do a bris is on the tzad that he's a Gilgal. And so I don't understand. He's going to wake up as, he's a Gilgal previous to Shammah, he's going to wake up as a 6 day old. I don't know. So he says it's a bazillion for him to get up.
And if he's not a Gilgal, then he'll wake up also.
If he's not a Gilgal, he'll wake up. But there's no problem. He'll wait, either he'll wait 2 days or 8 days and he'll have a bris. He'll have a bris then. Okay. This man.
What if someone didn't have a bris because Mein Tzolach Mashmi Yud, if he's 50 years old and he dies,
he'll
do
this? That's a good question. What if someone is Mein Tzolach Mashmi Yud and he dies? Or a Frei Yid who dies and didn't have a bris? Or from a Yid? They're from a Yid and who become from and they say, listen, you know, tough ratio base mitzvahs, but my own bris, you're not touching me. They're afraid. So such a person, I would assume you do a bris somach l'kever. I don't know if you do it at the kever. But some of the Kfuras.
He's right. The Shivish already is that 4 days, no Khir, no Din Mila at all. No Shishkafir, I've been Mila. So here, there's something.
It's true that less than 8 days old, there's no idea of Arla. And here it seems to be Fakert. So I can only tell you it's a Kabbalistic idea that's brought in Shulchan Aruch. And with Noyig that way, any Kabbalistic idea that's brought in Shulchan Aruch with Noyig. But, you know.
And it's a Shulchan Aruch also, that's a Vidam also?
What?
That's a Vidam also?
It's not going to be dam after a few hours after the Petira.
So,
right, there won't be dam many hours after the bris. Yeah, it counts for me. It's not to a minion, right? Right. Separate. What? This applies to a nafel. If the nafel has, it's true. Sometimes a baby is not even 1 day old. The baby is. Is a miscarriage, and they do a bris milah as well on a nafel. If there's what to do it on. Okay, yeah. Could well be. No chayda sadin. Okay, he's assuming anyway. There's no chayda sadin if he's a few days old. Okay. What they give a name to a girl too? Yeah. On a miscarriage, if the miscarriage is at a stage where there's an arla, they do a bris by the kever. They do a bris at the kever, and they give a name, and they don't ask the parents for the name. They usually give. They always give a name. Nachum, Nachama. They give a something has to do with the tragedy. That's the name. What? Well, they did ask the parents for the name. They asked the parents. Oh yeah, okay. Maybe Yehuda Riki Vegas says it's a Tinyanok of Samad Aleph. And if you want, give this to Rabbi Yosef. I have it already. Okay. All right, the last line of the page, Rei Samad Gimel. So here we have a fascinating halacha that's the get to doctors. Amoyalim. Osir Lamal Oivik Echavim. It's Kabbalistic. A metal is a simin of din, and you don't want to do it by a mace. So we do it bitzrar. The truth is, until Goliath, they did all bris milas with batikhan sipar tzar. She took a stone to do bris. Yeshua did becharva surim with a sharpened sword. We're going to have later. The Sma says it was done with stones. Rashi maybe says okay. We'll get to it. The last line: Osir lamal avik chavim shalosh shem geiris afilu b'chayil. It's osir to remove the arla of a non-Jew, even on a, why? Why should it be osir if a guy wants to have his arla removed? Why should that be osir? Oh, we're talking about Arabs. There's a long piece of tshuva about the Arabs. Okay, we'll talk about the Arabs separately. First, talk about the Goyim that are not compared to Pera Adam. And then we'll get to... the Taz and Shach argue a tremendous nafkaminis between them. If you look at Taz Gimel, Niraliatam. Why should you do a bris to a guy? Kivan Shamrina Davram Avinu Aimed Umafchin Mihu Shanimail. Avram Avinu stands by the doors of Gehenna, and he rescues someone who, as long as you had a bris milah, he rescues you from Gehenna. Sheinam Nichel Gehenna. V'zeh Shemal Zevi Kechavim Mevatel Siman Milah BiYisrael. Strange. Says, well, if a guy died, I can't do anything about it. But a Jew, you're confusing Avram Avinu. It's a very strange reason.
He doesn't ask him what? He doesn't ask him his name.
You know, I once heard that there was a fellow who was addicted to drink. And he always smelled from alcohol. So the Rav told him, he says to me, uncle, what are you going to do? You come to the Olam HaEmes and your breath stinks from alcohol. He said, Rabbi, when I come to the Olam HaEmes, I won't be breathing. It's not a problem. So when you come to Olam HaEmes, you know, you don't come with your Arla. You don't come with your, I don't know exactly what it means. But strange as the Taz's reason may be, the Taz holds that it's a Mila Dikadin, that Bris Mila is only for Yidden. It's a Bris for Klal Yisrael and not for Goyim. So you don't do it. The Shach argues, what? Yeah, Avraham Avinu, I assume, would recognize the mitzvah, or recognize who are his children. The Shach therefore argues.
What about
Ishmael? Well, I said we'll get to in the Pesei Teshuva. The Shach argues, the Shach says that it's zero to do with Dinei Mila. It's a din in Loi Seichonim. It's a din in not doing Toivis to Gayim. And
what he's paying for it.
That's an afkamina, the place can say. It's a taiva. Why is it a taiva? So I want to talk about why it's a taiva. Give me a minute. Pasha the taiva because he wants it. I want to get back to it. But the guy wants it, so don't do him any favors. You don't do laisechanim. You don't go looking to do favors. Nafkamina is, the Shach says, that if a person is paid, if he's doing it for schar, that it's mutter. That it's mutter to do it, and it's extraordinary nafkamina between the Shach and the Taz. If it's not a laisechanim dika issue, whether it's mutter. How do we paskin in this shaila? So I don't know what the minhag ha'olam is, but the Pesachei Teshuva brings a meal tzedakah, and the Har Tzvi, the Teshuva Reish Tezvav, says to paskin that way, that I feel a bischar not to do a bris. Rabbi Avadia, the Abi Aimer, in Chelet Beis, Teshuva Yotes, says that it's shari ledas roif paiskin, and he says, machmet tov alav bracha. But the Be'ikar Adin, he says, the Allah is like the Shach, and it's
practice,
this is the Daf Kamina. So it's one of the rayas they bring. So they say, because it was before Matan Torah, someone brings this. I mean, they bring from Mitzrayim. They bring a raya from Yosef from Mitzrayim, that Yosef allowed Bris Mila. I jotted down who brings the raya. Anyway, they bring the raya from Yosef from Mitzrayim. Why did Yosef do it? Yosef did it so that when the Yidden come down, they shouldn't be ashamed to do a bris. So like the Shach, it's mutter. There's lo leisechanim. If you're doing it the Taiva say Yehudim, you're doing it for the Taiva of Yidden. So there's no leisechanim. According to the Taz, it's also mutter because it's before Matan Torah, and leisechanim certainly didn't apply. And I don't know if the bris of Bris Mila already existed. The bris of Torah didn't exist, so I don't know if it would apply. But at any rate, this is the Machlokes HaPaiskim, the Chluki Deis on the issue. Now, there's a fascinating discussion regarding our cousins, the Bnei Yishmael, the Bnei Keturah, regarding them and Bris Mila. And Pesachei Teshuva Yudalit goes into a long discussion. I want to give you the basics of it. Actually, the Bnei Keturah are the ones that are Chayiv. Avraham Avinu had how many children? How many children Avraham have? What? He had eight, right? He had six from Keturah, one from Sarah, and one from Hagar. He had eight children. And if he had a bas or not is a subject of dispute. But a chumash, he had eight, what? Yeah, it could be bas. Yeah, but he had eight eligible for bris mila. And the bnei keturah, chayavin and mila. And the shagas aryeh here is gavaldik kasha on the Rambam. The Rambam says, b'zman hazeh, bnei keturah, chayavin bris mila. So the shagas aryeh says, 1 minute. The Rambam says on the lav of Leisavi, Mitzri or Adaimi, Bekal Hashem, an Egyptian today wants his Megayer. Are you allowed to marry him? You're allowed to. Why? Kevar Basa Cherev Bilbo Kol Ha'umais. We say that the Mitzrim are not Mitzrim. There is a Machlitzer of Eliezer and Gamliel in the Mishnah. And Kevar Basa Cherev Bilbo Kol Ha'umais. So the Rambam says that it's okay. So if it's okay, so, because they're mixed. So the same thing with the Bnei Keturah. He says the Bnei Keturah is certainly mixed with the Bnei Yishmael, and they're mixed with the other Umasailam. So he asks Akasha how, why the Rambam brings that that you do a Bris Mila. That's the Kasha the Shagas Aryeh asks. So he says that there's no Mitzvah Mila today by the Arabs. Nadi Yehuda, who the Pesach Shuvah quotes, comes along and he says a very nice copy teretz. He says, the din that you go Basa Raiv, listen carefully, how do you know Minayim does mean Basa Raiv in Chulin, the first paragraph? I say, how do you know go Basa Raiv? So we're learning out of one of three different Makairis, you go Basa Raiv. Zakhtin Nadi Yehuda, listen. Going Basa Raiv is a chelik of Dinei HaTaira. B'nei Nayach don't have Dinei HaTaira. They only have Dinei Sheva Mitzvahs. So B'nei Nayach, you can't go Basa Raiv. See, even though the B'nei Keturah were mixed among the Umasailam, so we don't go Basa Raiv. So, the Rambam, when he talks about a Ger Mitzri, a Ger Adoimi, he's a Jew. He's a guy. The Ger is a good Ger. He's a Jew. So now you want to marry a Ger Mitzri, you're a Yid. You could be Samech HaRaiv. He's a Ger. So you could go Basa Raiv, that Kfar Basa Cherev, a Bilbo Kol Ha'umais, he's probably not a Mitzri. But here we're talking about when he's still a guy. The Rambam is saying he's a Ben Keturah. There's a Mitzvah L'mailai. Aye, Basa Raiv, he's not really a Ben Keturah. Zakhtu Naidu B'Yehuda, by Goyim, you don't go Basa Raiv. Since you don't go Basa Raiv, therefore, the Bnei Keturah get Bris Mila B'Zman HaZeh. Good. So the Michas Chinuch chaps the Naidu B'Yehuda Gavaldik. So we have the Shagas Aryeh, who says that Bnei Keturah, Yisus Tiris Haram, says they're potter. Nabi Yehuda says, no, you don't go Basa Raiv. So the Michas Chinuch, if so, every guy in the world should need Bris Mila. If Basa Cherev a Bilbo Kol Ha'umais, so everybody might be a Ben Keturah. So Misafik, so every guy, maybe not the Chinese or the blacks who are nicker that they're not Bnei Keturah, but Nicker, I said. No, that they're not Bnei Keturah. So therefore, they are. They should all be Chayav and Bris Mila. Is that a great kasha? They should all be Chayav and Bris Mila. Maybe yes. So then, how are they done if we're allowed to be Mal Bnei Keturah? Because it's a mitzvah allowed to be Mal. So how can the Ramah say that Asalam Alei V'Kichavim? If there's a din that you're supposed to be Malvem, so why is it also supposed to be Malvem? Maybe we have to charge them. I don't know. How do we stand? We understand Avraham Avinu? I don't know. Why? It's a cash on the whole thing.
Why was the din of Bnei Noach? Why we're talking about it? Why do we have to be Malvem?
No, we didn't. Well, they have a mitzvah mila. We certainly are not obligated to be Malvem. I have no chiyuv to go to Bnei Hagar and help them do mitzvahs. And now I'll give them a
veris. Why would Bnei Keturah have a mitzvah mila? Why possibly could we say that?
Why there was Zeich in heaven or the fact?
Yeah, yeah.
The fact of the matter is that Avram was mitzvah to be Mal Kol Zachar before they were born.
So
Bnei Yishmael got him. He was born already before, even though he had a bris at 13. But what? Yeah, the Mishnah Melech has a famous shtickle Torah that the Machlaik is there, Bnei Noach, and not Bnei Noach. Okay. This isn't going like the other time. Right. Okay, at any rate, this ends Simei Reis Samach Gimel. We turn to Reis Samach Dalet.
So, in life, we should adapt
No one does it for free anyway. B'schar, so Rabbi Avadia says that the Yesh Ami Lismaich, but not like the Taz, and look, it's better not to, he says, but if you're getting paid. Ben Keturah is, according to Shagasari, they're not Mechoyev, according to Yehuda, yes. According to Mechzim, he has a good cash.
No, she's not for sure.
Ben Keturah. It's less a honey to them too. What?
You have to make a prop also.
This was a question. By Ben Keturah or?
By
Goyim. So this bothered me. Why don't we say, by a guy, do a bris less than 8 days old? Let's do a bris less than 8 days old. And then it's not a bris. A bris less than 8 days old is not a bris. And that's what they do anyway in the hospital. It's usually done before 8 days old. So why not? That should be a nafkamina between the shach and taz. If it's also like sechonim. So anytime. Don't do them favors. Not in the scheme. Why Dafka here?
Why is this a favorite?
Because they want it. So I'll tell you, it's interesting. It's an interesting thing. I want to read you. Push it. If they want it, it's a taiva. The Rambam's Lashon. Listen to the language of the Rambam. Ramosha has three or four tshuvas on this thing. Ramosha was fire about the following issue. Zelashayin Rambam Seifil Chesmila. You have to listen through. Okay, for health reasons, you have to take it off. Also, the Yisrael Lachtech Haisai. Shevichavim Eimalin Haisai Midemisa V'loi Meridin Haisai Eleha. Din of V'loi Meilin V'loi Meridin. You don't save Goyim, you don't kill Goyim. Afal Pi Shenasa Mitzvah Berefuazu. Even though it's a mitzvah, Sharelin is Gavin La Mitzvah, don't do it. Afal Pisha Nasa Mitzvah. What does that mean? Dradvaz writes that a guy, listen to this, who does any of the Taryag Mitzvahs there's a lot to do, except for Shabbos, a guy who does any of the Taryag Mitzvahs gets Schar Ke'ena Mitzvah Va'isa. The Radvaz, on his Pirush on the Rambam. The Radvaz says, if a guy shakes a lulav, he gets Schar Ke'ena Mitzvah Va'isa. If a guy listens to Shaifar, He gets schar keder b'tzuvah v'ayis. Any mitzvah he does, except that the mitzvah he's not allowed to do, then what? Fill in? I don't know. Ramosha has numerous tshuvas on this topic, and he says l'shaynis as chas v'shalom to say such a thing. How could it be? It can't be. And you know, but the Radvaz holds that way. And it's interesting. Rashi in Shas in a few places, we're gonna have it in Avodah Zarah. Rashi learns that a ger toishav, not a ger tzedek. Ger tzedek is a real ger. He's the kabbalistic mitzvahs. A ger, what's a ger toishav? A ger toishav is a ger that is makabel the zayim mitzvahs b'nei nayach in Bezdin. He has to go to Bezdin, be makabel zayim mitzvahs b'nei nayach. Rashi says he's makabel those of the taryag mitzvahs that he wants to keep, not just sheva mitzvahs. You can make a list. You know, it's like a menu. Choose what you like. You know. You like to eat the lobster, don't take that one, you know, take the other one. It's like you choose the mitzvahs that you know, people sit around and say, if I be a guy for 2 minutes, which aveira would I do? You know, it's like a favorite teenage thing to do. You know, Rabbi Drillman was once sitting daydreaming, the boys were sitting there saying what aveira they would do if they'd eat a cheeseburger, they did. Rabbi Drillman says, I tie my right shoe first and my left shoe second. You know, I could be a guy for 2 minutes. He told this over in a very amusing way. So, at any rate, it's a dove of Pela. Afal pi sheyesh mitzvah b'zu. Maybe the Rambam meant it's a mitzvah to get healed. I don't know what the Rambam meant. I don't remember how Ramosha explains it. But Ramosha has numerous tshuvas, and in the Darash Moshe, they have a shtickle from him on it. Okay. What we learned till now is the preparation for the Mila. Getting to the Mila, Rei Samach Dalet, Mi Roi Lomul. So the first thing we'll learn next week is whether a lady Mayel is kosher or not. It's Hashem, so we'll do Rei Samach Dalet.